Hello, today music and literature and the stage and soaps and alcohol and addiction and very, very, very cold swimming with sharks and jellyfish. We have Adam Walker, swimmer in Seven Oceans, John Sutherland, professor of English literature, and his son Jack with a tough-minded memoir, Pam St. Clement on a long acting career and soap opera demise, and the distinguished pianist Sam Haywood celebrating composers in love. And as we're going to start with Adam, I want to check out the swimming credentials of the rest of you. John Sutherland, can you swim? Good swimmer?
At my age, your bones get lighter and you get weaker, so my swimming has changed, and I don't like it as much anymore.
Why not? Why, I would have thought lighter bones would be good. You float.
I don't know. I sort of get bored and thrashing around in the waves.
Jack, what about you?
I'm definitely a swimmer, but not since my kind of teenage years. I'm unfortunately rather a bit like my father and rather lazy. I'd rather sit in a jacuzzi with a nice pint glass of orange juice and relax rather than burning off the calories, if I'm honest.
Pam St. Clement, swimmer?
I did swim, yes, quite well when I was a youngster, up to teenage, but I think now I get bored with this as well, and I'd rather do aqua aerobics, to be honest. I think that's much more fun than going up and down and up and down.
And how about Sam Haywood? It's a pianist, so it's quite good for you, really, loosen up the shoulders and...
It's the ideal sort of exercise for a pianist. Yeah, there's no shocks for the joints.
You're not going to injure your hands.
That's
like
right.
Ball games, cricketers, lethal.
That's right. Yeah. I thought I was quite good until last week when I was overtaken by a pregnant lady. And that wasn't very good for my ego.
Right, well, let's start with Adam Walker, who is very good at it. He's an ocean swimmer. We believe the only British person to have swum something called the Ocean's Seven Challenge, which includes the English Channel, Strait of Gibraltar, Molokai Channel in Hawaii, plus narrower bits in Japan and New Zealand, and the freezing waves off Scotland. He's raised a lot of money for whale and dolphin conservation and other causes, and at times has been nearly killed off by it. And on the 23rd, he's going to be telling all the tales to the Royal Geographical Society in London. But seven swims all over the world. Who invented this sadistic challenge?
It's called the Ocean Seven, so it's classed as the toughest seven ocean swims in the world. And it was a guy called Steve Munnertones, who was the ex-US coach of open water, and he was the one who invented it, so he's well respected. So he named the seven. It's his fault that I wasted 7 years of my life.
Now, what took you into it? What were you doing before?
I was a salesman, and I bought an aeroplane. I watched one of these in-flight movies about a guy swimming the English Channel. It was a fiction movie, and I got so inspired, and I thought, I wonder if I can do that, swimming the English Channel. I hadn't swam for 10 years, and it was always backstroke, two lengths backstroke, never front crawl as a kid. And I thought, why don't you try something you weren't very good at? So it went on from there, really.
Did you give up your job as a salesman? What were you selling?
Your kettles and toasters. Yeah. Thank you for that. I always get a laugh when I mention that. Thank you. Laugh at the last 15 years of my life.
We all need kettles and toasters. So yeah. It was a breakout moment, was it? It was, I want to do something different. And
yeah,
big.
I wanted to inspire myself. I wanted to do something for the charity. And I wanted to, in my mind, make a real difference. And not that selling kettles and toasters doesn't make a difference, but I thought I was capable of so much more. I played a lot of sports as a kid. I got a couple of injuries, and I just wanted to test myself, really, and I knew I was capable of something big.
Now, technically, ocean swimming's a bit specialist, isn't it? It's not like powering up and down an Olympic pool. Are there special kinds of stroke and so on which just are better to do long distance ocean?
Yeah, I mean, what happened with me is I had a really poor technique, and I actually got a ruptured bicep tendon. I had two operations. I actually had three operations in the end, and I built another stroke. So I created a stroke called the Ocean Walker Technique, which has actually happened to be now a business. And so the sales pitch, I guess, is I can't sleep on this side. I can't put 10 kilos of weight in my arm on my left shoulder, but I can swim 17 hours. Because it's all about effortless swimming.
So what is your stroke based? Is it based on a crawl or based on a breaststroke?
It's front crawl, which is the fastest stroke. But it's about taking pressure off the shoulder. So I use the core, the stomach muscles, to take pressure off the chest. So I don't swim traditionally as we were taught at school with the chest. It's very much using the stomach muscles. Like golf and kayaking, they all use the core muscles. So I take pressure off, and that's how I do it.
What about the acclimatising to the freezing cold? I mean, when you're training for a cold swim,
yeah,
do you have to sort of dip yourself in icy water every day just to get used to it?
You have to go through the gruesome side of it. Yeah, you have to acclimatise. And I used to go to Dover, and I'd swim 6 hours in 13 degrees, be shivering for 4 or 5 hours, get in the car, put the heater on, got told off by putting the heater on, because obviously you can get a heart attack. You have to warm up gradually. And I've gone through...
John Sutherland is kind of collapsing in horror on the side of the table.
And, of course, when you're burning calories, because you're burning 1,100 calories an hour as well, because you're in the cold, so you're burning a lot, you're not taking that much in, so effectively you hit the wall after 4 hours. But this is a training session, 6 hours, and then the next day you have to do 5 hours. So you have to get used to temperature. Temperature is a big one, but mentally you have to be tough.
What's the longest swim then? How long's the longest of these swims taken?
Hawaii, Molokai Straits was 26 miles, but it took 37 for me because the current pushed me another 11 miles.
How many hours is that?
That took me 17 hours. I got stung by a Portuguese man of war after 13 and a half hours.
They kill you, don't they?
Yes, yeah, they can kill you. But fortunately, I'm big, so I was okay. But yeah, I pulled a couple of tentacles off my stomach. I got one about 15 inches in the inside of my leg. And but mentally, we talked about it earlier.
You're in a horrifying pants,
looking,
Clement.
looking horrified at this. Oh. But you know, you have to be strong, and if you want to achieve something in life, you've got to be that driven.
What about the agony, though? Because jellyfish stings, even though we're pathetic little North Sea ones, are quite painful. What does a Portuguese man of war feel like?
Imagine being burnt by a scalding, boiling kettle, times by 1,000, and then you're somewhere close. I mean, it sizzles. You know that bacon noise when you're cooking bacon in the morning? And your brain goes into turmoil and says it's over. But, you know, you've got to remember, I've trained for this, and the mental training as well. So I've gone through a lot. I've been sick. I've had stomachache, nosebleed in training, all through from the temperature. Through this was just another thing. And I'd always talk about the devil on my shoulder and the angel, the devil trying to get bigger and trying to control that emotion. And it's only a bit of pain. Pain lasts for a minute. Success lasts for a lifetime.
But you've got a safety boat alongside, which you can chat to some extent.
I'm not sure about chat to.
Sort of have a mutter things. I mean, you never think, stuff this for a game of soldiers, I'm getting in the boat. Have you given up any of them?
No. I've done all seven. Unfortunately, touch wood, I haven't.
But none of them you've had to go back and do it again?
No. I mean, in Hawaii, he got lost. All three navigation systems were down, so he said. I mean, he'd only taken 10 people across at this point, and everyone had finished at the shortest point, 26 miles. So when it was getting dark, he was a little bit lost, but I was only 3 miles from shore. It took another 6 hours to do that 3 miles.
And did he mention to you, by the way, I'm the safety boat, I am actually lost?
I paid him a lot of money not to get lost, and in the end, he was actually calling someone on land, and someone was actually flashing their lights in order to direct us with the current, which was a bit concerning. And he was about 30 metres ahead of me the whole time, which was strange, because all the other crossings, they're alongside you, because obviously they're a safety boat. This guy decided it'd be a good idea to go ahead of me, and I could swim him down, because I'm not as fast as a boat.
The sharks take any interest in you, do they?
Yeah, in New Zealand, I had a shark underneath me and a pod of dolphins came to my aid.
Came to your aid? What do they do?
Well, they just all appeared out of nowhere, and there was probably 12, 14 of them, and this shark was hovering underneath. And after about half an hour, the shark disappeared. The dolphins stayed with me for an hour and a half. I am allowed drinks every half hour, and when I had my drinks, it's thrown overboard. Basically, I can't touch the boat, can't wear a wetsuit. I had my drinks, and the dolphins are bobbing up and down, waiting for me to continue. And of course, they're not trained SeaWorld dolphins; they're you know, in the wild. And of course, my charity is well in dolphin conservation.
So they probably thought that you were a sort of slightly injured, sort of not entirely competent dolphin.
I felt pretty slow alongside those dolphins, and I did a little game with them where I was trying to chase them up, thinking I'm as fast as a dolphin, and they would just do a little flick with their tail and say, "No, you're not actually." And they were always within sort of 5 or 6 inches of me, at least 2 or 3, never left my side. And actually, it's turned out that I'm going to be hosting a dolphin documentary this year on finding out, did they save me or were they just curious? So,
and the television companies are desperately trying to source kind of agreeable dolphins in the hope they'll come and do it again.
Yeah, we're doing some negotiation with some dolphins at the moment, and they say, oh yeah, we remember Adam from the Cook Strait.
Just one other thing, apart from the sheer endurance of it, is there something satisfying about swimming from one landmass, one country, to another, just exporting yourself with your own body power? I would have a thrill there.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I see it as the ultimate challenge of myself, certainly the ultimate endurance challenge. That's why I did it. And one arm in front of the other, 70, 80,000 strokes. And there is something about when you're alone with nature, you really realise what it's all about and you feel so minuscule and insignificant. But when you can get across, there's no better feeling. And it is addictive. It was going to end with the English Channel. And then another six channels later, 7 years later, I carried on. But, yeah, unbelievable feeling.
Is anybody else tempted? Sam, you were saying you liked swimming.
Well, actually, I mean, the feeling of swimming in the open sea. My wife is Greek, and we go every summer to the islands. And I can see the attraction, and swimming pools are such a pale comparison. Yeah. Such long treks.
Just settle an argument, Adam. Is it possible to get seasick while you're swimming in waves?
I mean, surely sick not. On every swim.
Really?
Yeah. A chap sponsored me actually £1 every time I was sick in the English Channel, and he paid me £20. So there was a benefit from being sick in that one. And
sick,
now you do
sick
with emotion.
As in you actually have thrown up in the middle of swimming.
I've learned to actually be sick and keep swimming, which sounds a bit gruesome, but. You know, you're all looking at me like I'm very strange here. I'm kind of used to this. But, you know, you have to get in that mindset. Whatever happens to you out there, you have to carry on. I was pretty sick, actually, from Ireland to Scotland, which is obviously very cold, because the cold affects you in terms of sickness. The motion, you know, obviously big waves, 10 to 12-foot swells, can make you sick as well. And, of course, burning calories. You know, if you burn 1,100 calories after 17 hours, then that's a lot of food. It's a good weight loss program.
Yeah. So you can eat anything you want, basically. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and stay thin. But, you know, if you stop, then maybe you have to control the food after that.
Give that man a pie. But I don't.